You are about to endure Michael's Saturday Surprise for September 16th, 2017. Any resemblance between what follows and entertainment is purely coincidental.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go.
Good morning, kiddies.
That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play.
Welcome in, group. It's Rotten Rick. As we start our September offering, the downhill slide toward winter, I'm sure glad I got good friends like you and OTR to get me through it. Spring will come eventually, but we'll not worry about that right now. Tonight's first feature is Penny Singleton. And the first thing you're going to say is, ah, Blondie. And how could you not? She played Blondie from, I think, the late 30s, early 40s in the films into the 50s. She had the radio series in the 40s, the TV series in the 50s. A madcap, more or less traditional household. In 1950, she had a secondary series, at the same time that this was still being Blondie out there someplace. This was the, get the name of this one, the Penny Singleton Show. Unusual. Again, a comedic role, and a slightly non-traditional family in that she was a widow with kids and suitors. This was a forerunner of what would become later, of course, in series we saw in the 50s and television later on in the 60s and 70s. In this particular situation, they backed her with some powerhouse talent. The show was short-lived, but it was pretty good. I'm not going to identify the stars. You'll identify most of them. And if you don't, they'll tell you at the end.
The Penny Singleton Show. On stage tonight from Hollywood, another of NBC's outstanding half-hour presentations, The Penny Singleton Show.
Hello. Happy you're listening.
Penny in our story is Mrs. Penny Williamson, a young widow and the mother of two daughters, D.G. and Sue. Penny supports her family and home by selling real estate in the firm of Williamson and Wiggins. It's late afternoon, and we meet Penny coming home from work. She's just driven her car into the driveway.
Hi, Mother.
Hello, Sue.
Give me a kiss.
Mm, there we are. Mm. What have you been doing today?
I'm making a study of ladybugs.
That sounds interesting. Let's go in the kitchen door.
I'm trying to find out who sets fire to all the houses that ladybugs always fly away home to.
Well, I've always wondered about that, too.
Evening, Mrs. Williamson.
Oh, evening, Martha. My, dinner smells good.
Yeah, we're having clean up the kitchen.
What?
Hash. Would you mind if I start dinner a little early tonight?
Have a date?
Uh-huh. Leonard Frybacker. I'm taking him for a canoe ride on the lake tonight.
You're taking him? You mean you do the paddling?
Oh, I can't help myself. When Leonard looks at me with those big blue eyes and calls me his little Pocahontas, I just automatically get that outboard motor feeling.
Margaret. Sue, you'd better get ready for dinner.
Yeah, it'll be about 10 minutes.
Where's Daisy, Sue?
In the living room, reading the mystery story.
Again? I told that girl.
You know what I have, Mother?
What?
A little ladybug. Her wings hurt, and I've got her in a box hospital.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Now go on upstairs and wash.
Gee, I wish there was a way to take a ladybug's temperature.
Hurry, Sue.
I am.
Daisy. Oh, there you are, Daisy, reading again.
Hello, Mother. Excuse me, Mother.
Darling.
Please, Mother, there's a hand just coming through the window.
What's the name of that book?
The Pool of Blood. Please, Mother.
The Pool of... Oh, no. Where'd you get that?
Wait a minute. The hand came closer and closer. Gloria felt a growing fright, but she knew not from whence the fear came. She started to turn. The hand paused.
I don't think that's the kind of a book you should be reading.
She touched the pearls around her swan-like neck.
There are so many good books to read here.
But the hand came closer and closer. Gloria shuddered from an unknown dread.
I think she felt
she should run, but the dark corners of the room offered no escape from the growing fear that she was about to...
What, Mother?
Don't stop now. What did the hand do?
Oh, dear.
Mother, is there anything mysterious and secret about our house?
Only the fact it still stands up with the two of you living in it.
No, I mean secret sliding panels. Dark, uncertain passageways. Bells that ring from nowhere.
Oh, now you've got me doing it. It's just the phone. You get ready for dinner. I'll talk to you about that book later.
Oh, gee.
Hello.
Penny, this is Judge Grundle. I want to come over and have a little talk with you.
Well, we're just about to sit down to dinner. Couldn't it wait until tomorrow?
Penny, face it. There are times when a woman needs the advice of a man.
Well, why not tomorrow?
Well, have you seen the evening paper?
No, I just came in and we're eating early.
I'm coming over. You need me.
I do?
Yes. Goodbye.
I'm the judge. Did I park in front of another fire hydrant today?
Finished, everybody?
Not quite, Margaret.
Oh. Well, I don't want to rush anybody.
You finished, Dickie?
Almost. Well, take your time. I don't want to rush anybody. You finished with that sauce dish, Sue?
Just one more bite.
Oh, don't hurry on account of me. I don't want to rush anybody.
Oh, Margaret, just rinse and stack the dishes. Then you won't be worried about being late for your date with Leonard.
Me worried about being late for Leonard? Me worried? Me? Oh, it's Leonard, I'm late.
Well, I've finished. I'll answer it. Personally, I hope it's the judge and he's changed his mind about whatever was on his mind. Hello?
Penny, this is Wiggins.
I'm through now, Margaret.
Yes?
I'd like to come over to your house tonight.
Well, Mr. Wiggins, I've been with you all day in the office and...
But since the evening paper came out...
Evening paper?
I don't want to frighten you, Penny. I'll be right over.
But, Mr. Wiggins, Judge Grundle called and
What's the matter?
Did anybody bring in the evening paper?
I don't think so. I'll go get it.
What's wrong, Miss Williamson?
Well, I don't know. Judge Grundle called about coming over because of something in the evening paper, and Mr. Wiggins just called about the same thing.
You know what happens when they're both here at the same time.
I know.
Here's the paper, Mother.
Thank you. I'll look through it and see what's causing all the excitement. We'll go in the living room while Margaret clears the table. Don't know what upset them. There was nothing in the local news.
Well, what were some of the headlines?
Well, mayor's wife has Vestalia. Mayor's wife unveils statue of President Fillmore.
What else?
Mayor's wife robbed last night. Mayor's wife opens new chickadee sanctuary.
There ought to be one film saying mayor's wife takes a rest.
Well, I just can't see what they're excited about.
There's Margaret's wild goose calling.
Coming, Leonard! Now, I'll see who it is on my way out.
Okay.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Justice.
Hello, Bobby.
Mrs. Williamson,
we're in the living room, Ida.
Oh, Penny, my dear, I'm so glad you're home. Hello, Dickie, Sue.
Hi, Mrs. Duncan.
My, you look upset, Ida. What's the matter? Sit down.
Oh, no, I don't dare. I've got to get back to my house before it's too dark out.
Too dark out?
My dear, haven't you read the paper? The evening paper?
You too?
The mayor's wife was robbed last night.
Well, I read that, but Middleton, like every other town, always has its share of robberies.
And a hand came through the window.
Where? What window?
It's just a book she's going to stop reading.
Mother, I'll never know what happened to Gloria.
We'll go into that later.
She gets saved. I read the last page of the book.
So you've wrecked it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, at least I don't know who the murderer is.
The butler.
It's getting late, and I do want to get back. Now, you say it has been robbery. All right, but never in this neighborhood. The mayor's home was only 3 blocks away from us.
Ida, I think you're dramatizing things. Take the usual precautions, and you'll be all right.
Oh, how can you be so calm?
Well, getting upset and excited isn't going to help.
I'll lend you my water pistol, Mrs. Duncan. It squirts 60 feet.
Deedee, would you answer that?
Oh, good heavens. I think I'd be afraid to answer my door after the sun went down.
All right,
Oh, hello.
Is that the masked bandit, Deedee?
No, it's only Judge Grundle.
Who's she expecting, Clark Gable? good evening, Penny.
Hello, Judge.
Ida, who?
Hi, Your Honor.
Hello, Judge. I was just talking to Penny about the mayor's wife being robbed last night.
Yes. Now's the time, Penny, when you need a man around this house.
Then you're worried about it, too? You see, Penny,
I think you're both making too much out of it.
Well, if there's nothing more I can say, I'm going to run home. It is getting dark. I'll let myself out.
All right, Ida. Bye.
I'll see who it is, Penny.
Okay.
Oh, hello, Ida. Is Penny home?
Yes, Mr. Wiggins, in the living room. Goodbye, I'm on my way.
Hello, Penny, D.G., and Sue.
Hello, Mr. Wiggins.
Hello, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, hello, Grundle. Hello, Wiggins.
I wish when you two met each other, you wouldn't react like two male Siamese fish.
Well, what's Grundle doing here?
Well, first you tell me what you wanted to see me about.
Last night the mayor's wife...
That's why I'm here, too.
Oh. But I thought of it first.
You haven't thought of anything first since you were born.
Now, Judge.
Mr. Wiggins, Judge... You think our lives are in danger?
Oh, Deedee.
Would it be awful if suddenly the lights went out? What do you think would happen?
It'd be dark.
No, you just don't understand.
Judge, Mr. Wiggins, it's sweet of both of you to be concerned about it, but I have locks on everything, and there's a phone right by my desk.
But, Penny, if...
Well, I don't want to get the children excited either.
I'm not, Mother. I'm more worried about my ladybug.
Well, I think it's thrilling. I feel just like Gloria in the pool of blood.
The what?
It's a book.
You see, Penny, I thought it would take something like this to make you realize that a man around the house...
He means a man like me.
I don't mean any such thing. I'm talking about myself.
Oh, Mr. Wiggins and Judge Grundle, couldn't we change the subject?
I have a question that would change the subject.
Good.
What is your question, Sue?
Sue, if you want the right answer, ask me.
What is it, Sue? You see how nice it is, Penny, to have a man around to answer the child's question?
Come on, Sue. Ask... Uncle Wiggy.
Ask the judge, Sue.
I'll ask both of you.
Now what?
Yes.
Are there man ladybugs?
Well, So you want to answer the question, Wiggins?
Oh, no. You go ahead. You.
No, please, Wiggins. I don't want to interfere. Tell the child. Well.
Yes?
Well.
Don't you want to tell her, Judge?
Don't either one of you want to tell her?
If Wiggins wants to, he's perfectly able to go right ahead.
I defer to you, Judge.
Do either of you know the answer? Sue, darling, there are male ladybugs. The name is really Ladybird. They were given that name because long ago the little bug saved a valuable crop. And the people were so grateful, they named them Bird of Our Lady. So the name doesn't mean they are all ladies.
Gee, thanks, Mother.
Yes, it is nice to have a man around the house to answer children's questions. Tarquito, what's that?
I'll go.
Penny, I'll go. It's Ida. Liza Harrington just told me, Penny, she was robbed.
What?
Why, she lived just two blocks from here.
Yes,
when did it happen?
Well, apparently, while she was out to dinner. When she came home, she saw the porch door open.
Did he break in?
No, she left it unlocked. She remembered that later. I wonder if a hand came through the window.
Oh, Deedee. I'll call Liza and see if there's anything I can do.
Now, Penny, don't you think I was right to come over?
Say, Penny?
Yeah. She left her door unlocked. That's practically an invitation. Let's worry about Liza, not me. The Williamson family can take care of itself.
For Act Two of the Penny Singleton Show. It's the next morning, and we find Penny and her family in the dining room just finishing breakfast as Margaret enters.
Not a cup of tea, Miss Williamson.
I think I have time. Just a little thing.
If Leonard and I hadn't gone canoeing last night, I would have been here for all the excitement.
You didn't miss much. The burglar only took silver, which Mrs. Harrington said was insured.
Well, I'm taking some insurance to bed with me tonight. That old-fashioned flat iron and the rolling pin.
Mother, I don't think I'll read any more of The Pool of Blood for a while.
You're right, because you're taking that book back to the rental library this morning.
I could let my lizards and frogs and toads loose tonight. That'd keep him out.
That'd keep all of us out. Well, I'd better be off to work.
Sue, will you stay home with me tonight?
Sure.
Oh, for heaven's sake. The less we talk about this matter, the happier we'll all be. I'll see you tonight. Goodbye.
Williamson Wiggins, this is... Oh, hello, Mr. Russell. You'd like Mrs. Williamson to show you the property at 9. Yeah, she should be in any minute. Yes, yes, I'll tell her. Goodbye.
Miss Penny, I can't...
Oh. Hello, Wiggins.
Hello, Grundle.
I came to see Penny.
She's not in yet.
Oh, well, I've... Maybe we'll have to work on this together, Wiggins.
You, leading up to the robbery?
Yes, yes. I think we should insist that Penny allow us to patrol her house tonight.
I hate to say this, but I agree with you.
Good morning, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, good morning, Penny.
Sorry I'm a little late. Oh, hello, Judge.
Good morning, Penny.
Mr. Wiggins, did Mr. Russell call?
Yes, and he wants to see the property this morning.
Then I'd better go right
Penny,
on
Penny, wait a minute. Wiggins and I are worried about what happened last night.
Oh, please don't.
We think we should come over to your place tonight and, keep an eye on it.
Well, you're both very nice, but the police force is on the job. I saw two policemen in the neighborhood when I was driving to work. We'll be all right. Now I'd better get right over to Mr. Russell.
But Penny, you'd never need to know we were there if that would be all right.
Thanks, no. Bye.
Think what a feather it would be in my cap if I caught that guy. I'd be irresistible.
If I caught him, Penny might change her whole attitude toward me.
I know the children would think I was just about the bravest fellow in the world. The kind of a man they'd like around the house.
Me too. Hey, wait a minute, Grundle.
Mm-hmm. What? Now, you're not going to patrol that place without me, Wiggins.
She wouldn't have to know we were there.
But she was...
No, she wouldn't.
Now, Horace, the thought occurs to me that if Penny doesn't want us there, we shouldn't go there.
Bessemer, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
There's no need to go, Elvis.
Well, you're not wanted.
Yeah. Well, I've got to get back to court.
See you around sometime, Horace, old boy.
Yeah, see you around. So long, Bessemer, old buddy.
Almost cleared, Margaret. Deed, you'll bring in the last stack of biscuits.
And thanks, Miss Williamson.
My, it's getting dark early tonight. Maybe it's going to rain.
Oh, I hope it doesn't thunder. Things are bad enough with this burglar on the loose.
Oh, don't worry, Margaret.
But what if I'm sleeping? And then suddenly I hear my window screen slowly being removed.
You see too many movies.
That's the way David Bryan did it in the movie I saw last week.
Well, if the burglar's as handsome as David Bryan, that might help a little.
Say.
That's what I call looking at the brighter side of things.
This is Margaret.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, is that thunder?
Oh, I knew it was going to storm tonight.
That's too bad. Did you have another date?
I am not stepping a foot out of this house after it gets dark.
Are you scared too, Margaret?
Well, let's put it this way. If I had a boyfriend on the police force, I'd feel better tonight. Hey, that's an idea.
Oh, now stop it. You're both working yourselves up into a fine state. Margaret, why don't you come and sit in the living room with us after the dishes?
Oh, thank you.
There was a thunderstorm in the pool of blood, too.
Tonight, Daisy, I recommend you reread Little Women.
Darn thunder. What's that? Looks like a man. Come out, whoever you are.
Oh, what?
Oh, Oh, it's a tree. Yeah.
Who's that?
Who's that?
You tell me first!
You tell me first! Oh, it's you, Grando.
Oh, Horace.
Oh, Bessemer. Oh,
did you see anything?
No. Just you.
Shh. Not so loud. I can see Penny through the window there.
Be careful.
How did I know the bush was there? It's dark. I know, but be careful. Oh, be quiet. What was it? Sue's bicycle.
Where'd you leave your bicycle, Sue? Someplace out here.
Well, Fine didn't bring it up on the porch before the rain started.
Get behind the bush, Grando. Sue's coming.
I think I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, no. Hold it.
Francis, I'm looking, but it's hard to see. Here it is. Bring it up on the porch.
Hold it, Grando. Hold it.
It's not here, Mother. All right, here. Now come on here.
Okay, sneeze.
It went away.
Now, look, we better start patrolling instead of hiding behind the bush. You take the north side of the house, and I'll take the south. We can both check the backyard.
All right. The street light takes care of the front yard pretty much.
Yeah, now, you take your side, and lead around back every now and then.
Oh, we'll stop giving orders.
Just as I was hanging up the dish towel, I could have sworn somebody was tiptoeing past the kitchen.
Oh, Margaret.
Mother, I thought I saw a figure go by the window on this side of the house.
How can one man be in two places at the same time? You're both being silly.
I closed the windows upstairs, Mother.
Thank you, too. Wait a minute. D.G., I thought I told you to do that.
Well, I...
Where's the nickel you promised me, D.G.?
D.G., were you afraid to go upstairs?
Kind of. You don't have to worry, D.G. That dead man under your bed won't hurt you.
Mother!
Sue, don't tease.
Mother, I don't like this thunderstorm.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's play the piano and sing some songs. It's silly huddling around like this. Besides, you're all beginning to give me the creeps, too. What's next? Margaret, you choose a song now.
How about Stone Cold Dead in the Martin?
Margaret! Let's do Three Blind Mice. We do that in school.
All right. Sue, you take the first line, and then you come in next to
you. Oh, Margaret.
Did Margaret go out to the kitchen?
I'm standing right behind you, Miss Oh,
someone knocked over something.
I'm sorry, it wasn't me that knocked it over.
Well, I'll have to...
Mother, don't go into the other room.
Well, I just can't sit here.
I wish the phone was in the living room.
Who's there?
Nobody's going to use that phone, and nobody will get hurt if they don't move.
Oh, boy, a stick-up. Just like in the movies.
How dare you come into my house? How dare you?
When somebody leaves a door unlocked, I come in.
The back door. When I put the milk box, I
like... You forgot to lock it.
Well, I have nothing of value in this house, so you'd better get out.
I might have to tie you ladies up before you start yelling.
That shouldn't be hard to do. We can't put up much of a fight. What do you do when there's a man in the house?
Well,
I suppose you look in first, and then if there are only women, you feel safe.
Now, look, lady...
It doesn't make you much of a man, does it? If you had one speck of decency or chivalry... Anything you might take in this house wouldn't be worth the fright you caused us. I don't like having guns around my children.
I don't carry a gun. If I get caught, it ain't armed robbery.
Oh, so you don't carry a gun?
No.
You just go around robbing homes with women in them. That makes you a real brave man.
Lady,
If you had children, would you like it very much if they had the wits scared out of them by someone like you?
I don't like what you're saying.
It's true. Miss Williamson.
Someone's on the porch.
Don't move. It might be the police. I'll look out of the window. Stay right where you are.
Is it the police?
No, it looks like someone else is trying to sneak up on the porch.
A convention.
Mrs. Williamson, what do we do?
I don't know, Margaret.
Don't worry. Don't worry, I'm not going to let anything happen to you.
What?
Not one speck of decency or chivalry, huh? Ma'am, just because I pick up a few things when people leave their doors unlocked, don't mean I'm the all-American heel. Turn off the lights in the hall there.
All right.
Whoever's moving around on the front porch, don't want anybody to know he's there.
Be careful.
Don't worry. I'll just open this door quick and jump in.
Don't get hurt.
Okay, you're ready. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, scaring women and children like this.
You may let them off now. I know them.
Penny, we were just getting out of the rain.
What were you two prowling? You were guarding my house.
Yeah. Yes, Penny, since the rain started, we figured there was no more danger.
So we came up on the porch to get out of the rain.
Who's this fellow?
Well,
I guess you'd better tell him, ma'am.
What do you want me to tell him?
Tell him the truth.
But you gave yourself up to help us out.
That's okay. What do I do now?
Do you really like your work?
Not after tonight.
Good. Now come on in, everybody, and get dry.
No, Penny, this man.
Margaret, I think we could use some hot coffee. I know the judge and Mr. Wiggins could.
Tell me up.
And you'd like some coffee, too, wouldn't you, Mr.?
Call me Bill, ma'am.
But who is Bill, Penny?
He's our burglar.
What? Penny!
Oh, it's all right. He's done with that. And you and Mr. Wiggins are going to help with his probation. That's fair.
Thanks, ma'am.
But Penny,
forget about it for now. Without Bill's help, you two might have scared us to death running around outside at this hour of the night.
Penny Singleton Show featured Gail Gordon, Jim Backus, B. Benaderet, Sarah Selby, Mary Lee Robb, Sheila James, and Wally Mayer. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Penny Singleton Show, written and produced by Robert Soderbergh and directed by Max Hutto, stars Penny Singleton.
Good night. Keep well.
You know I have a real fondness for vintage radio shows. I mean, the early ones. I mean, the ones are even older than Bob Acosta. I guess because I collect vintage radios, it just sort of follows. What comes next is a quarter-hour show that was kind of a hybrid. It's part infomercial, part cooking show, and part entertainment. From 1931, it's the Nesco Royal Cooks. Now, what's interesting about this to me is it's very much emblematic of its time. Listen to the commercials and think about your microwave today. And these are people who were, in many cases, making the transition from chopping wood and hauling coal to kerosene stoves. Certainly still a ways away from our natural gas, and they don't mention much about electricity. Since this show was produced in Milwaukee and beamed out into the Midwest, it's obvious that a lot of the potential audience were rural people who probably still didn't have electricity. So this is how it was done then. A marvelous new development in cooking. One thing you might notice in the recipe and such, they do a great description, but they never mention anything about temperature. How do you control a temperature on these things? Well, maybe some people know about it. Anyways, it's kind of fun, unless you really hate old radio. The Nesco Royal Cooks from somewhere in 1931.
The Nesco Royal Cooks are on the air.
Turn on the heat, turn off the heat. Salute the Nesco, so trim and so neat. Ho, ho. Hail to the king! turn off the heat, turn on the heat. Instant control gives a housewife a treat. Oh, oh, let loud praises ring. Fry, bake, or boil, cooking becomes a pleasure. Goodbye to toil, you'll find you've got a treasure. What a treasure, show you are wise. Open your eyes, Nesco is master and Navy advised. Inspect the Nesco, the oil-burning marvel today.
Before starting this weekly program, the National Enameling and Stamping Company, manufacturers of the world-famous Nesco products, want to thank the many, many women who have written in complimenting us on these programs. Today, there's no good reason why every woman, no matter where she lives, should not have all modern advantages, economies, and conveniences of city gas cooking. The day of kitchen drudgery for women has ended. No more bending over red-hot coal and wood fires on hot days. No more back-breaking wood chopping. No heavy fuel to carry. No ashes. Just light a Nesco burner and the blue direct contact flame is ready to bake, roast, fry, or boil in a jiffy. The Nesco Royal Cooks, whose music will lighten your day as a Nesco lightens your work, will start with selections from the popular light opera, Nina Rosa. Our old friend and helper, Grace Vile Gray, ready to talk to us again. The whole country knows Mrs. Gray because of her wonderful work in home economics at Iowa State Agricultural College and her timely and helpful articles in Women's Magazine. Mrs. Gray.
Good afternoon, radio friends. One of my many radio friends has written in to ask me what I consider the most important factor in cooking. That's easy to answer. A steady, constant, hot flame which can be applied directly to cooking utensils. It's fairly easy to follow directions for mixing and preparing dishes, but it is often difficult to get the right kind of fire upon which to cook them. That's one important reason why I heartily recommend Nesco kerosene stoves and ranges. My recipe today is for nut and cheese loaf, a most delicious dish for luncheon or supper, and easily prepared. While you are getting ready to copy this recipe, I'm going to ask my buddies, the Nesco Royal Quartet, to sing My Lindy Lou.
Honey, did you hear that mockingbird sing last night? Oh, Lord, he was singing so sweet in the moonlight. In the old magnolia tree, busting his heart with melody. I knew that he was singing of you, my Lindy,
my Lindy, oh Lindy,
my Lindy,
oh Lord, I'd lay right down and die
if I could sing like that bird sings.
Little Lindy Lou.
you smell that honeysuckle vine last night? Oh, Lord, it was smelling so sweet in the moonlight. Clinging around my cabin door, reckon it's 'cause he loves it so. Honey, that's the way I love you. My Lindy, if I could be as sweet as that to you, my little Lindy Lou.
Ready for nothing cheese loaf? 1 grated cup of grated cheese. 1 cup of dry breadcrumbs. 1 cup of chopped walnuts. 1 tablespoon of butter. 1 cup boiling water, 1 egg, 1 tablespoon chopped onion, salt and pepper to taste. Cook onion in the butter. Mix cheese, nuts, breadcrumbs, and water. Add the buttered onion and egg. Bake for 30 minutes. It will be a pleasure to send a copy of this recipe to every woman who wants it. Just send your name and address, nothing else, to Nesco Radio Department, 270 North 12th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Thank you, and goodbye for a week.
Thank you, Mrs. Gray. We in the studio always get hungry when Mrs. Gray goes on the air. All right, cookies, please pay selections from Rosemarie. Nesco also manufactures high-quality enameled ware, Royal White, which sells at very moderate prices. After all, there is nothing like enameled ware to retain true food flavors. We want to send you a covered utility bowl of many uses, in the refrigerator, for leftovers, butter, salad dressings, and so forth. The regular price is 50 cents. Send us 20 cents to cover handling charges, and it is yours. Address National Enameling and Stamping Company, or Nesco, 270 North 12th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now we're going to hear again from the Nesco Royal Quartet. They will sing Good News, Chariot Coming.
Good news, chariot's coming, good news, chariot's coming, and I don't want to leave him behind. Good news, chariot's coming, 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 good news, ch
that's coming and a dawn leaving me behind.
There's a long white robe in the heaven I know.
There's a long white robe in the heaven I know. There's a long white robe in the heaven I know. And I don't want to leave me behind.
There's a starry crown in the heaven I know.
There's a starry crown in the heaven I know. There's a starry crown in the heaven I know. And I don't want to leave me behind.
Well, good news.
Good news chance come.
Good news.
Good news chance come.
Good news.
Good news chance come. And I don't want to leave me behind.
Good news.
Good news, Chad's coming.
Good news.
Good news, Chad's coming.
Good news.
Good news, Chad's coming. And I don't want to leave me behind.
There's a golden harp in the heaven I know.
There's a golden harp in the heaven I know. There's a golden harp in the heaven I know. And I don't want to leave me behind.
There's silver slippers in the heaven I know.
There's a silver slippers in the heaven I know. There's a silver slippers in the heaven I know. And I don't want to leave me behind.
Oh, well, good news.
Good news, Chad's coming.
Good news.
Good news, Chad's coming.
Good news.
Good news, Chad's coming. And I don't want to leave me behind.
Good news,
Chad's
coming.
Good news, Chad's coming.
Good news,
Chad's coming. And I don't want to leave me behind.
It's the constant, steady blue direct contact flame which makes Nesco the best kerosene stove. Then there's the double hot burner to use when even more heat is required. The flame is applied directly to the bottom of the cooking utensil, and perfect cooking results. It is false economy to try to cook with a makeshift stove when you can get a Nesco from your nearest hardware, furniture, or department store. Look at one tomorrow. They also carry Nesco ovens and Nesco perfect oil heaters. Thank you. We'll be on the air at this same time next week. Goodbye.
So let's skip ahead now about 45 years from the simplicity of heat in the kitchen to the complexities of heat in the household. Neighbors can be useful in mediating disputes, but they also can get caught up in their own. In this one, though, I think they do a pretty good job of smoothing everything out. And there's a reminder at the end of this segment about what's coming ahead for all of us.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life, brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytro. I compared labels. Daytro has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytro can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytro, new from Bristol-Myers.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
All right, Evie. Goodbye, dear. Evie's coming over. She's had a fight with Fred.
Then stay out of it.
Oh, she's my friend and neighbor now.
She'll be your enemy, and one of us will probably have to move.
Or she needs somebody to talk to.
She needs somebody to agree with her that Fred's all wrong and that she's completely in the right, whatever the argument is about.
Does it hurt me to agree with her and calm her down?
Believe me, when your married friends quarrel, don't take any side. Just stay out of it entirely. I mean it now.
She's my friend. I'm certainly going to take Evie's side. You can take Fred's side if you want to. But
I'm not taking Fred's side. I'm not taking any side. I'm going to stay out of this whole thing completely. And if you take my advice, you'll just listen and say nothing.
Well, I don't think that's very much comfort. If I'm upset and crying, I don't want somebody sitting there dispassionately just nodding, saying, oh, yes, I see, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Listen, if
I want somebody to say, oh, you poor thing. Of course, no wonder you're upset. You know that sort of thing. Times like that, a woman wants sympathy, not just an audience.
Hey, there she comes, sobbing across the front yard. I'm going to sneak out the back door. I've got some yard work to do anyway before it gets dark.
Stay right here. Stay right here. She said, please. Please, dear. She wants to talk to both of us.
I don't like getting involved in... Well, if she and Fred have had a fight, that's their business.
Come on in, Evie. Come on in, dear. Come on, we're right here.
I'm so mad at Fred. Oh. You just don't know.
Oh, put your arms around her, dear. Well, she went to you. Put your arms around her.
Evie, it can't be all that bad,
Let her cry, dear. Let her cry. That's the best thing.
I don't want to cry. I don't want to shed one single tear over that lazy, good-for-nothing, pig-headed bossy.
Now, Fred is not lazy or good-for-nothing, Evie.
Well, Fred's certainly bossy. I agree with her on that. He's the most dominating, self-righteous. Evie's very right about that, dear.
Fred is cruel.
Cruel? Yes. Well, now, Evie, I don't think we're...
Come on, Evie. When we were away and you looked after our dog and Alex got sick, you said Fred sat up all night with him.
Because he's nicer to dogs than he is to me, because he likes dogs better than he likes me.
Oh, Fred loves you, Evie. Now we all know. He adores you.
Well, I hate him. Oh. Well, you just don't know what Fred is really like.
What did he do, Evie? What is all this about? Was it about money?
No. He took the end piece of the roast beef.
You're kidding.
No.
He took the end piece? The outside slice?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I don't blame you for being... I don't blame Evie for being mad.
Wait a minute. Now, come on, Evie. This whole thing isn't over something as trivial, as ridiculous as a piece of roast beef, is it?
It's not trivial and it's not ridiculous. Fred did it deliberately.
Oh, come on, Evie. That's childish.
But it is childish, Fred, I would say.
I would, too. I don't think you understand, dear. Fred hates the outside slice. It's too well done. He likes rare, practically raw roast beef.
He likes his steaks rare, and he likes his hamburgers just raw.
Dear, don't you know we have cookouts? Fred is always saying, just wave mine at the fire.
Yeah, okay. I know that.
Well, Evie doesn't like things raw or rare. She likes them well done.
Oh, I don't like them too well done.
No,
sort
I know.
Of medium well.
Medium well, I know. But don't you see what Fred did, honey? He deliberately took the outside slice, knowing that Evie always... Wait a minute, Evie.
Hmm?
Why did he do it?
Well, just to be mean. That's what I'm telling you.
Nonsense. Well, Fred may have his faults, but he's certainly not downright mean.
What exactly did Fred do, Evie?
Well, he was carving the roast and serving.
Yeah.
And I was going back and forth from the kitchen with the last-minute things, and I came in and sat down, and he had the outside slice on his plate.
And you said...
I said, Fred, isn't that the outside cut? And he said, yes. He said, I think I'll have it for a change tonight.
And what did you say? Oh, I can just hear him saying that, too.
Now, Evie, I know Fred well enough to know that if he did anything as childish as that, then you, Evie, must have done something to provoke him.
That's a nice thing to say to her. Why should it be her fault?
I'll tell you why. Statistics have proved that when there's a family argument over dumb, silly things like this, it's almost always the woman who starts it, the woman who provokes it.
Is that so? And what statistics were those, pray tell?
Okay. Now, here comes Fred across the yard now, so we'll just find out what started all this.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Is my wife here?
Yes, Fred, Evie's here. Come on in.
Evie, come on home.
I'm not speaking to you.
Come on, listen, you two. This whole thing is absurd.
Frankly, if you don't mind my saying so, this whole thing is none of your business.
Well, frankly, since you put it that way, I don't think it's any of our business either, but your wife came over here and made it our business.
And frankly, Fred, I agree with Evie that it was mean of you and childish of you to take the outside cut of the roast beef. When you don't like it anyway, you know perfectly well that she
Look,
does.
Look, I told you to stay out of it.
Stay out of it. We're in it. Evie's my friend, and I certainly
Okay,
feel
okay, she, okay. She, Fred's my friend. And if you're going to take her side, then I guess it's only fair that Fred has a friend at court.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Why don't I make some coffee? Let's forget all this and play some bridge, huh? Life's so short, anyhow. Come
well,
on.
Fred's life is going to be shortened if he does it again.
Oh, well, now hold on.
Oh, I don't mind, Fred. If you wanted the outside slice. Well, I'd certainly never be selfish about it, but it was the way you just took it. Giving me that little triumphant smile, as though I'd done something you were punishing me for.
Oh,
and I'd done nothing, absolutely nothing, to warrant such treatment.
Oh, no? Who finished my jigsaw puzzle?
Oh, no. Oh, come on, Fred. Surely something as silly as
well,
that.
What did I tell you? I said that if Fred had acted that childish about something, that Evie must have provoked him in some way.
Oh, really?
Fred. Is that what you were mad at?
You're darn right.
Oh.
You've done this our whole married life.
Oh.
You know I like jigsaw puzzle. They relax my mind. I bring them home, dump them out on the card table in the den, and you know what she does?
Yeah, sure I do. Mine does the same thing.
Oh.
You're stuck looking for just one piece for half an hour, and she sails in back of you, leans over your shoulder, picks just the one you've been looking for, and sets it in and says, oh, I think that goes there, dear.
Oh, honey,
yeah, that's right, right. But that's not the worst. I come home at night and find she's been working on it all day and it's half done.
Oh, Fred, I don't work at it all day. If I happen to see a piece, I just put it in as I go past.
There. You see what I mean, pal?
Yeah, I sure do.
Oh, you men are just jealous. Statistics have proved that women are better at doing jigsaw puzzles.
What statistics are those?
It's the same ones as yours. The ones that said women start all the dumb, stupid, small family quarrels, honey.
Fred, sweetie pie, why didn't you ever tell me that annoyed you? Honey bunch, why didn't you tell your little Evie?
Well, I don't know, Mousykins. Aww. Look, let's go back home, huh? I saved the outside slice of beef for you. It's in the warming room.
Well, we'll see you later. Oh, wasn't he cute saving me the roast beef?
Adorable. Mm. See you later, Evie.
And I was so mean to my
Well, I was
Honestly,
pretty mean to
such
my
to do over nothing. Really, Fred acts like a 6-year-old in kindergarten squabbling over some blocks. He is really very childish, I think.
And Evie isn't? Hysterical because she didn't get the cut of meat she wanted?
I guess they both are. Yeah. Very thin-skinned, as they say. Emotionally immature is, I believe, the correct expression despite their 4 children.
Well, at least we managed to remain fairly objective tonight and not get dragged into it.
Oh, I'm glad we don't scream at each other and then talk baby talk the next minute. Oh, I hate that, don't you? Babykins, mousykins.
Oh,
really,
me too.
I just hate that.
Especially
stuff.
In front of people.
I know.
Hey, listen, it's early. Why don't we drive out to the lake and have a dip and cool off?
Yeah, it's a great idea. Fine. You know, it's too bad Fred and Evie can't be like us. I mean, our whole married life, I think we've done very well. I mean, if something bothers either one of us, we've always been open about it, discussed it calmly and intelligently. I just can't imagine you. I really can't. I can't imagine you acting the way Fred did tonight over a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, no?
No, I really can't.
Well, listen, I think Fred had a point. You do the same thing to me.
If the jigsaw puzzle's set up in the family room, isn't it a family jigsaw puzzle?
No, not necessarily. Not the one I got for Christmas.
Christmas? You're going all the way back to last Christmas?
Well, why not? If you get something for Christmas, isn't it yours? And the jigsaw puzzle was given to me.
Oh, it wasn't. I bought that puzzle for us all to have fun with.
Well, it was wrapped up for me and put on the tree.
By whom?
The dog. The card said, to Daddy from Alex.
All right. It was your jigsaw puzzle. Well, I'll never be guilty of doing one of your jigsaw puzzles again, honey.
Well,
okay.
Now that I've complained about it, I don't really care.
No.
Truth is, you always do find the pieces I can't find.
Oh, no. Come on, let's get our swimsuits and get out the lake.
Okay. Hey, what did the cat give me for Christmas?
The cat? Oh, I don't know, dear. It's so long ago. And in another 4 months, I'm going to have to worry about what the cat's going to give you this Christmas. Well, I'll get our swimsuits. Lock the front down now. We go out the back way.
4 months till Christmas? Oh, boy, where does the time go?
Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville and has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading antiperspirant. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
So, for once, we're almost off on time. And before I go, a couple of acknowledgments. As always, a thank you to Daniel, who likes to put the little fine points on this presentation to make it more listenable. And my thanks to you. Lately, I've been getting some very positive comments. It's well appreciated, and don't think I'm fishing for them, but it's the kind of incentive that keeps us going and looking to find things that are entertaining. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for being here. Look forward to you next time around. And of course, stay tuned for the stuff that comes up on Thursday night as well as here on MSS. In the meantime, as we always say, stand up and face the microphone. Good listening, good luck, good night, and goodbye.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go.